Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the second webinar of the Multilingual Winter Series. My name is Diego, and I will be your host today. I'm super excited. I have three great super guests today, and I will introduce them very shortly. Today, we'll be talking about productivity. Just to make it clear, if you are thinking of AI and technology, that's not what we will be talking of. It will not be our focus today. So we'll be touching more on the human side of productivity. I hope you're not disappointed by this. Please stay with us because it will be a great conversation. I use the word conversation because I do want to be a real conversation. I have a very nice list of questions here for the host guests, but I do want to make it as more interactive as possible. So please send us questions. You can do that using the Q&A, the chat, or even on Facebook and YouTube chat, if you want. So our friends here at Multilingual will be taking care of those in the background. Also, I know this is a very common question for these online events. It will be recorded. And in this very moment, we are live streamed on Facebook and YouTube as well. I don't really want to talk too much because I don't want to take time away from the guests. I will leave the mic to them now. I'm super happy to have here Alessia, Monica, and Luciana. So please join me in welcoming them on stage. And let's start talking about productivity. Alessia, if you don't mind, you have the honor and the burden to start. Would you like to talk a bit about yourself, your track record, professional track record, and your current role, please?
Sure. Thank you, Diego. Thank you for the nice introduction. Hi, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Thank you for having me here today. It's a honor to be part of such a great panel for Multilingual. So my name is Alessia, and I'm the Global Localization Program Leader at the Inca Group, that is the biggest franchisee part of the IKEA Group. So I'm globally responsible for the localization strategy across 30 markets. And I've been in the localization industry for around 15 years. But the interesting thing is that most of my career, I've been working for LSPs mainly. And it's less than a year ago that I made the switch and I was lucky enough to join the IKEA family. So I was able to join the localization world from the client side.
Monica, would you go next?
Sure. Thanks, Diego. Hi, everyone. I'm Monica Foresi. I am the Director of Localization Quality at Expedia Group, where I oversee the operations of a global team of quality managers and linguists. And we work together with my team to define the quality strategy for localized content. And within Expedia, we have different brands. And as you can imagine, each brand has its own tone of voice, terminology. So it's a very challenging environment, very fast-paced. And yes, this is what I do. And in terms of my background, I started myself as a translator years ago in Rome, in Italy, where I'm from. I joined a startup that soon became one of the most successful online travel agencies in Southern Europe, to the point that actually Expedia decided to buy it, and that's how I ended up joining Expedia. So I remained another couple of years in Rome, and then I moved to London, where I'm currently based, although it doesn't feel like it at all these last times. But I'm based in London, and I remained within the content and localization, always working on the client side.
Thank you, Monica. So this is not an all Italian panel. Despite the name, Luciana will tell us where you come from.
Yes. Hi, everyone. Hi, Diego. Thanks for having me. Super excited to be here with Monica and Alessia. My last name is Vecchi. It is Italian, but I am originally from Brazil. I've been in the U.S. for more than 20 years. It started my career in fashion, believe it or not. I had a small fashion agency back in Brazil when I was very young, had an opportunity to sell very young, at young age as well. Here in the United States, like I said, more than 20 years working in big companies, high-tech companies. I worked at Specialized Bicycles. That was one of my first jobs. And they're very technical savvy. That's exactly what they do. I worked after that at Adobe Systems, where I managed the globalization strategy. So that was my first land on localization, globalization. And I also was a product manager, product marketing, many different roles. I love understanding the companies that I work at and the people I work with. So I do tend to move around so I can understand the business from their seats. I also worked at NetApp, where I managed started with globalization strategy. And like I said, move around and ended up in product marketing, running go-to-market team that was focused on competitive intelligence, customer promotions and offers, and a lot of good messaging. And from there, I went to Peer, and which I actually managed the enablement organization for less than a year when I moved to AWS, where I am today. So I am at Amazon Web Services, and I work with a couple of senior managers and senior leaders on productivity and readiness, focus on the sales organization. I just want to make sure that everybody knows I am new at AWS, brand new. So I just joined a couple of months ago. And for that reason, I am not yet speaking on AWS behalf. So I'm just going to talk about my experience with globalization, which all those years, and anything I can talk about my experience with productivity. I just want to make sure I'm clear there.
Very clear. Thank you so much. Why don't you keep talking and tell us what is productivity for you? How would you define it?
You want to start?
Why not?
Sure. Yeah, so it's very interesting because productivity, I think, means different things to different people, right? For me, and we had this conversation among ourselves. So for me, what really means is, you know, how well can someone do something in a shorter period of time, right? So can you do something faster, something better? Where do you focus your time? And are you being effective on all those things that you're supposed to deliver in certain timelines? So anything you used to do, I don't know, in like 24 hours, can you do that faster without damaging the quality of the work? That's what I consider being productive. It depends on the role, it depends on the job, you know, things change. But that's like in a nutshell what I consider productivity is.
Thank you so much. And Monica, you come from a completely different role. What's productivity for you?
For me, when I agree with Luciana that productivity can have different meaning depending on the context, and actually can apply to all aspects of our life, not necessarily our workplace. To me, three things come to mind when I think of productivity. First is the focus. It is important that we remain focused and we manage our attention effectively, avoiding distraction. For me personally, focus is extremely important. I'm not a big fan of multitasking. I like to finish one thing and then go to the next. So that's the one. Second is reward. I think we need to have mechanisms in place to reward productivity, because that's very important to motivate yourself, to motivate your team. That needs to be this culture in place. And the third is the ability to disconnect. You really need to take the time to allow yourself and give yourself the space to disconnect, because it's a healthy habit, and it actually doesn't slow you down, although most of the time people have the perception that I need to finish this, I need to focus. But then you need to really switch off and give yourself the time and the space to disconnect. This is very important. And actually, most of the time, sometimes, especially when I have something very serious to solve or a problem to solve, and it's when I disconnect that I get the idea on how to solve it. I guess it's happened to everyone. You know, when you're not thinking about it, it's when you have the idea on how to, because this is how the brain works, and you need to really disconnect to connect the dots, paradoxically.
Absolutely. Alicia, you mentioned that you come from the LSP side, right? And you in the on the buyer side. How would you define productivity, possibly based on your, let's say, two roles or two sides of the business?
Yeah, so I think I'm looking at productivity at the moment from a more sort of a romantic perspective. So for me, if I had to define productivity, it would be the ratio between the time that you spend working and the difference that you make at a company level. But as you said, Diego, my perception of productivity has changed, has evolved during the years. So in the past, when I was part of an LSPs, when I thought about a productive team, that idea would often be associated with pressure and data. So productivity measured through KPIs, through OKRs, how much work you manage to process within a given timeline, how much revenue you're generating, are the margins good enough, are you delivering on time, is quality up to expectations, etc. Whereas my current perception at IKEA is not associated with pressure, it's more, when I think about a productive team nowadays, I think about a team that feels empowered and is happy to contribute. So I would say that for me is how well we respond to the needs and the vision of the company, and how we help the company to actually make a difference. Of course, productivity for me is still associated to objectives, appraisals, a way to measure them. But there are different criteria that come into play, and I'll be happy to discuss a bit later on.
Yeah, that was actually my next question. How do you think that company culture, for instance, and maybe also leadership style affect productivity? Is there any other factor that can affect productivity, in your opinion? Let's keep talking with you, Alicia. What do you think?
So I think that definitely the company culture and the leadership style do make a massive difference. So in recent years, there's been a lot of noise about agile methodologies and how to implement the frameworks within agile in companies that are not necessarily IT related, because that would enhance and foster productivity. But for me, the important point here is that unless there is a mind shift in the way this is perceived, unless there is a change that should happen first at management level, so top down, even if you're applying new methodologies that are within Agile, it won't make any difference in terms of productivity. So just to give you one example, when you think about high-performing teams, you would think about teams that work in a space that they feel safe, where they can unleash their potential, where they can be creative, where there is a continuous learning environment that is fostered. It's basically, we're talking about employees that are not afraid to speak their mind because they know that they are allowed to make mistakes, because risk is part of the game, basically, as long as you learn from your mistakes. And this is something that I learned, being part of the IKEA company culture. I think it's very, very important. Our culture is based on some core values. And two of them that are paramount related to productivity, I think, are give and take responsibility and lead by example. Those are really, really important to me. And I feel that they are very close to me on a personal level as well. Because I know for a fact that if you work in a company where you experience blaming culture, or there is finger pointing, if something goes wrong, they look for a scapegoat, something like that, it's not a healthy working environment. So in that environment, a team wouldn't blossom or wouldn't be able to express their potential. They would just stick to their job specs and they would never go the extra mile.
Yeah, I love the culture of mistake that you mentioned. Which seems a paradox, but I agree with you. And Monica, company culture is very strong at Expedia as well.
It is. I agree with Alessia. There is a strong set of values that Expedia really stand for, allowing the employees to work in a safe environment, take risk, make mistakes, and choose different paths without being fearful of making mistakes, because we are allowed, we need to allow ourselves to make mistakes to better understand and to change if we need to, or to move forward. This is extremely important, and it also helps people to feel motivated, to feel engaged. It's much easier to be feel engaged in an environment that gives you the freedom to express yourself and learn from your mistakes. It's really vital.
I loved, you have a quote about culture, right? Behind
yes,
you.
Yes, for simplicity. Yes, this is one of the values at Expedia. Yes, of course, in a complex environment, as you can imagine, big corporation like Expedia, the productivity, to increase productivity, you need to find ways to simplify and reduce waste. So it's one way to go to also choose the right path.
Thank you, Monica. Luciana, you come from a very big company, I would say, one of the biggest in the world. How is that? How is the culture in relation to productivity in AWS?
Yes, of course. Like I said, I can't speak for AWS. I can talk about my experience, right? But I just want to reiterate something that, you know, my colleagues like Alicia and Monica mentioned. You know, the productivity and culture of the company and the team, because sometimes it's not the culture of the company, but certain teams, they are very, like, they're highly correlated, right? And I think that a culture of the company that, you know, allows people to have their personal time, not just allows, but also, you know, talks about it constantly and opens up for the teams to have their personal time, especially now that we moved, you know, with COVID. We are all online. We are all working overtime. We are basically wake up online and go to bed online. So we're working long, long hours. It does not mean we're being productive. Not everybody's being productive. But it just means everybody's online and everybody's on. So we need to be careful, right? And I just think that's a big thing that our companies need to look for. And I love that to hear about lead by example. Because even if you work in a company that has a culture of you know, working long hours and overtime, we do as managers and as leaders, we need to lead by example and really tell our teams that they are allowed to have their personal time, right? I'm very personal with my teams, not just here at AWS, but any company that I worked for. And I always ask them to take their own time. And sometimes I'll give them PTOs. I'll say, hey, I've seen you. I saw you working overtime. I saw you working over the weekend. Just, this is my gift to you. Please, you know, take tomorrow off. Or I would tell them, in your birthday, I don't want to see anyone in front of me. Just take your birthday day off, you know, do something, just relax, whatever you do. So it's just little things like that, that we help our teams and empower them, right, to actually be more productive. Because when they're online, when they're working, they're really focused. To Monica's point, right, like, you know, you can focus. I am a big multitasking person. I do focus by multitasking. In fact, I love music. So I'm constantly listening to the music to help me focus. And I am doing usually 2-3 things at the same time. But this is how I function best. In fact, I had teams that would tell me when they see me focusing one task only, they were scared. Because I will find every single detail to talk about, right? Because I'm extremely focused. So that's how I function. But that's what I believe, Diego, for companies, right? It's not just the company culture. We talked about high performers. High performers, they do not necessarily are working overtime, right? They are not spending a lot of hours. They know what their strengths are. They know what they're good at, and they spend time there, right? Which is a different way of looking at focus. So I think that, like I said, I would just reiterate, as managers and as leaders, we just need to help our teams even if the company is not necessarily opening up those conversations, to let them know that they need to spend time and have their personal time and use that wisely. And we need to help them get there.
Yeah, I agree that we should lead by example. I have a question that in relation to my experience. I think I'm very free in relation to what I give to my employees and to my team. I mean, they know that I always tell them that they can take free time, that they need to be focused. It's not the quantity, it's the quality of their time at work. But sometimes they tend to not understand this. I mean, they tend to think that they need to stay there. And they ask me for permission to leave 5 minutes earlier after like 9 hours. How can I overcome this? I mean, and it's a question of culture, as you said, but it's difficult for them. I think many people are not used to have such freedom, probably. What do you think, Luciana? I mean, my team is much smaller than yours, but than your company, of course, but it's just something that they would like to understand. How can I make them understand that they can take free time? Is it leading by example?
Yeah, you have to lead by example, right? You have to take, and I think it starts with us, we need to take some time off, because if our team see us not taking time off, working during the weekends, responding emails in the middle of the night, it's just like it sends a message to them, right, that in order for them to gain trust with you and then fully, you know, be involved with the projects, that they need to do the same. So I do my best, like for all over the years, I really do my best on anywhere I work to avoid sending them things over the weekend or, you know, late at night. If there are projects or things that are happening that we know it's due on Monday, that we know, I will deeply apologize and say, hey, we might need to spend some time. But it has to have a meaning and it has to have a reason. And it's not always. I think the word is consistency, right? Like how often you do those things. So that's my recommendation. And that's what works for me. And it's very tough. Like I said, nowadays after COVID that we are all online, it's not easy. So we do have to make an effort, regardless the size of the company, regardless the size of the teams. We do need to set boundaries and help them, right, to be able to focus, like, you know, Monica was saying, but without having those long hours off work.
Yep. Thank you so much. So we already discussed that a little bit, but so can you confirm, Monica, if there's a link between happy employees and productivity?
Of course. I think it's a natural link. I have never met anyone who was unhappy in their workplace and being productive. It's a matter of motivation, of engagement, of focus. Of course, if you completely disengage with what your work requires you to do, it's you're going to spend twice as much the time that another engaged person could potentially spend in the same task. It's it goes without saying that engagement and motivation are key to productivity. It's much easier to do something that you like doing and you're passionate about it, and if you disengage totally and you don't like the environment, that's why the environment is very important, the company culture, the leadership, the management. I think we need to try to within the possibilities, we need to managers need to be as flexible as they can be to accommodate individual needs. For example, I'm not at all a morning person, and I function much better in the later hours in the day. But there are people that are very, and I respect that in the team, because I can see that I can clearly see that the working patterns are different, and there are people that are more productive in the morning and people that are more productive in the evening, sometimes in the night. But that's, of course, we don't require them to work at night. But just to express that there is a difference there, that some flexibility could potentially also help to raise engagement.
Yeah, I think it's very scientific that there is a link between employee satisfaction and productivity. And I wonder why really there are some toxic leaders around. I mean, that's really weird. I mean, it doesn't work. How come? But, well, that's just my comment. Alessia, would you tell us a bit more how what's productivity in your company and how it's fostered and maybe how it's measured, if you can tell us something about that?
Yeah, sure. So productivity for IKEA, I would say that is a tangible progress, a progress that you can measure towards the company vision. And the company vision at IKEA is to create a better day life for the many people. So every department within the company, obviously it's a really big company, so every department contributes in a different way. So obviously I can speak on behalf of, the localization department and the localization strategy. For me, there are two main points here. So the first way that we can help productivity and help reach the company vision is to, through the multilingual communication that enables us to reach the many. So that means making localized content available and making sure the content is written in the IKEA way, reflects the IKEA concept, the tone of voice. And I'm talking about localized content that is both for the co-workers, but also external communication. And external communication is particularly important because if it's not released in a time manner, in a timely manner, it delays sales and the product launch. And the second factor here, when it comes to, again, helping to reach the company vision, is to optimize, so do more with less. And I guess that resonates with most companies nowadays. So that would be in line with some of the core values, again, that we have that are renew and improve, be different with a meaning, and be cost conscious. So in that case, I'm mainly focusing together with the digital department on the digital transformation and implementation of new technologies.
Okay, thank you very much. And has this changed? Has productivity meaning changed now that we are all working remotely? I know you are working remotely, Monica is as well. I'm not sure about Luciana. I am today. I'm going to the office every day because I'm more productive there. What's your opinion on that? Is this changed nowadays? The way it's measured, the way it's considered? You can choose who goes first. Monica.
I can, yeah. I think definitely. My personal experience with working from home is it's a roller coaster adventure, and there are times where I feel very comfortable, times where I really feel that I'm completely disconnected from my workplace and my reality. So it's a bit challenging at times, but I've learned to build a discipline, and I try to really draw a line between the work and my private life. And I guess everyone has experienced the feeling of not having everything is fluid. Where do I draw the line? How do I draw the line? I'm working and I'm dealing with my personal things at the same time. So I'm thinking about people that have small children at home, and they need to homeschool them and then babysit them. It's must be very challenging. So the work patterns, of course, have changed, and it's difficult to find the right balance. And I guess it's been a very big challenge for everyone, especially considering the different individual circumstances that people may have. It's not been the same according to the different locations and different countries, but yeah, it's been a very long adjustment period that we are still experiencing. And yes, that's also part of our, as managers, a responsibility of being understanding of the situation and allow flexibility. That there's, it's as obvious as that, really. But yes, I guess it's being productive at home. For me, it's much more difficult than in the office. In the office, I can focus easier. I also I like also the idea of being productive by exchanging ideas with my colleagues, and you know, the creativity side, it's much better. It works much better in an office than at home, I feel, at least personally speaking. But yeah, this is probably what I miss the most.
Thank you, Luciana. What do you say about this?
Yeah, I do think productivity. I do think it did change productivity, you know, after COVID. But at the same time, when I look back, right, I was just thinking about it. When I look back and I had to look into productivity before COVID, you know, for a company that I worked for at that time, the way we're looking at productivity is like for sales, for example, was how fast can we hire? How fast can we ramp? Right? And how fast can we get them to do their first call, their first win? And that to me hasn't changed. It's still the same. Like it just has not changed. The difference is how you ramp them, to Monica's point, right? Like the human contact, we don't have that anymore, that we put, you know, all these people in a room, we have them in person, and you have all those connections. So that is the piece that it's completely transformed. Right? It's different. But I do think that regardless that what happened, you know, like I was in a different company when COVID hit. So seeing that, and my team was a big team and different stages of their lives. So that to me was transformational, because that's where I had to implement a lot of individualization on how I worked with them and on my expectations with them, because they had different backgrounds. You know, some of them had just brand new babies, others were living alone, right, for too long, and they wouldn't go out. And so I had to have more check-ins. Others were actually sharing an apartment with three other people who work in three different companies, and they were not set up to be working online, right? And they're listening to each other, which you're not supposed to. So it was very challenging. It was very, very challenging to go through that process. And my focus at that time was really the people, right? Just getting them through that time and getting from them time together. And they're not always happy, right? And talking about productivity, yes, you know, I do believe like happy people produce more. So it was challenging not for them, but it was challenging for the managers, and they're looking up to us to make those decisions and help solve their problems. But we went through that process and it kind of winded down a little, right? We all kind of learn how to, you know, live in this new normal. But you still see like it's just taking too long. Like how long can we handle that? So I am a, you know, Brazilian. I love to be in person. I was always in the office, even when I was never required to. There were times that all my teams were globally dispersed, and yet I love going to the office. A little bit about it is I always had like food, you know, Brazilian chocolates, Brazilian goodies. I always had food, drinks, coffee. I'm addicted to my Nespresso machine. So people knew, like all like my peers and people not even on my team, they'll come, they'll stop by, they chat. So I do miss that. I do miss having that connection and have that, you know, the time that you just look at the corner, you can ask someone something quickly. But nowadays, there's also technology. You know, we're all using different technologies that you don't lose that contact. It's just different. Like, it's just like a personal preference.
Yeah. Alicia, you landed the job at Inca Group when COVID was already there, right? So there's been no change for you, I guess. But maybe you can tell us something about the current situation and how do you manage with, you know,
For me, it's been super weird because it's the first time I started a job remotely and I'm still working remotely. So I was supposed to move to Sweden a year ago and the move never happened. So I was shipped the laptop. I was basically set up remotely. And, you know, I've never met anyone from my team or my line manager in person yet because traveling is not allowed. So obviously, you know, this new normal has sort of been the only normal I know so far. So I'm hoping that things will change soon and we'll go back to the previous reality that we know and we miss. Because all of, you know, what Luciana said really resonates with me. I'm a people's person. I like going to the office. I like hugging people. I like, you know, having coffee with them, having that chat. So I would say that, you know, just going back to the initial question when productivity and how that COVID has impacted productivity, I was, you know, in my head, you know, there were just three elements that sprang to mind. For example, the fact that, you know, working from home and the perception of working remotely, I think it's related to trust a lot. So different companies have a different attitude towards remote work. And if I may say so, it's sometimes also linked to a specific culture or country. Because correct me if I'm wrong, Diego and Monica, but I've got the feeling that, you know, in Italy, remote work is still looked at something like, you know, somebody's working from home, but they're still working or they do something else. And then the second element is Luciana and Monica were saying, like, you know, there is flexibility in the sense that we don't need to commute. And people think that we might end up having more time for ourselves. But is that really the case? Or just because the laptop is always there when we wake up and when we go to bed, like Luciana said, I guess that we are actually working more and it's more difficult to disconnect. And not long ago, I saw this kind of joke online that I thought was really funny and sad at the same time. Was saying, am I working from home or am I living at work? So that actually, I think that sums up quite well what I'm trying to say. And then the third element that I think is really important is that I think all of us at some point have gone through ups and downs, have found it difficult to focus or even felt demotivated because of this whole situation. And I think that that's when, you know, again, the being a happy employee, feeling appreciated, having, you know, regular contact, not only with your colleagues, but with your line manager, is really, really important to keep the mood up. And at IKEA, for example, we had the chance to have quite a few mental wellness webinars. And they were basically arranged ad hoc during the COVID times to sort of give, you know, the co-workers the tools to deal better with stress and were related to mindfulness as well. So, you know, they're trying to help as much as they can, although it's kind of difficult.
Do you think there is still a need for that? Now that we're not post-COVID, but COVID started a long time ago, do you think there's still a need for such kind of being close to the employees? Or has this changed?
I think my personal opinion is that it's more needed now than it was a year ago, because I think that nobody really realized that this was going to last for so long. And people are starting to feel drained. I think it's been, in Italy, it has been full 12 months since the first lockdown. Some countries have experienced that a bit later on in the year. But I feel this feeling of exhaustion, of feeling like, oh, what? We don't even ask anymore, what are you doing on the weekend? It's like, oh, I'm going for a walk. That's all I can do. Since I can't remember the last
time. If you're lucky.
And, you know, I shouldn't be complaining because we are, you know, I got my job offer last February. And I know a lot of people that got job offers from other companies than them when it got withdrawn. So I have a job, I'm healthy, my family is fine. I really have no reason to complain. But it's just that this current lifestyle is so different from what I was used to. and a big component of my current role would be sort of, you know, to travel and go and meet people in different countries, and that never happened. So Zoom has been my best friend over the last 12 months. But
yeah, there's a question related to that. But first, there's a comment more than a question that I don't want to ignore. And the comment says, it's anonymous. It says, I have a strong suspicion that the general strategy for maximizing productivity at many large corporations is simply this. Ready? Okay. Give everyone more work that can possibly get done. Peer pressure keeps everyone working as hard as possible, and project managers harass people for anything critical that needs to be pushed ahead. How often do you see this? Anyone?
I can speak about what I've seen, right? Like that I've seen, especially when COVID hit. I don't know, you know, maybe this is something that this person is experiencing, but I don't think as a company we think that way. Like, again, leading by example, right? I have not worked in a company that is necessarily thinking, let's just give them more work. What I have experienced myself is, what can I do things better? Can I do things faster? And that comes with experience, right? The more experienced you are, or the, you know, if you see the same problem over and over, you solved it that 1, 2, 3 times in different ways, the fourth time, you're going to be better. You're going to be faster. You're going to know the solution. So you're being more productive. And sometimes that's where maybe managers sometimes are, you know, challenge their teams, right? Like, I like being challenged on having something or having more different things to do. So I've seen that on that end, right? But I don't think it's purposeful that companies are going and saying, hey, I mean, I can only speak for myself and my experience, but I haven't seen purposefully companies go and say, oh, let's just give them more things and see how they can handle, because it's not their interest. At the end of the day, they're interested is that everyone succeeds, because if we all succeed, the company succeeds, right? Now, if maybe you work in a certain team or a certain group that does have somehow that let's do as much as we can, I think it's our responsibility, individual responsibility, to stop and ask the question. You know, how, what's the urgency? And sometimes we take on projects, we don't ask those questions, right? What is the urgency? What's the priority? And ask the manager to help you prioritize things versus just saying yes for everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the process. It's really to not push back, but to ask the right questions and how ask your manager to help you prioritize. It's not a weakness. I love when my team comes to me and ask me for help, and help them prioritize and help them understand the urgency, because it helps them be more productive.
Yeah, thank you so much. I totally agree. Alicia, Monica, do you want to add something on this?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Luciana. And I said, I don't see more work. I don't have the perception that there is more work pushed to people. I can see that there is maybe the perception that because of the difficulties that we have to juggle private life and working hours, maybe there is a perception that, maybe not, but it's a possible answer. There's the perception doesn't help, because of course we are constantly online. What I can tell for sure is that since I've been working from home, I attend calls outside of my working hours, which I wouldn't have the habit to do so often before. And this is a sign of, you know, I'm not having a social life anyway, so I really don't mind. But it's a sign of how the work patterns have changed, and it's true that we are taking more time from our personal time that more often than before. So, but I also try to be very disciplined, as I said before. So if it happens, I would compensate. So that needs to happen, and if. To Luciana's point, I agree totally that we need to talk to our manager and prioritize. We shouldn't be working more. We should be able to identify what the priorities are for us to focus on and what we need to continue to deliver. I think this is the piece of advice that I would confirm as the most important thing. There's no harm in asking your manager, and the people who ask are people who feel responsible of what they're doing. So I would go for it.
So work smarter, don't work longer, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Alicia, do you want to add something?
I'm just thinking about some past experiences I had, and you know, they were not COVID related, but economy is always a cycle. So if it's not COVID, I remember the financial crisis back in 2009, and I was in London. There are always some constraints that go and have an impact on the company budget, and that usually has. And I'm talking about LSPs mainly, just because you know my experience at the client side is still quite new. But usually what happens when there is, an economic constraint is obviously a recruitment freeze. So what happens is that LSPs are often under pressure. They often have to accommodate, higher volume and amount of work, counting always on the same number of people. And that always that usually happens also when you win new clients. You don't get the heads in advance, but you get the heads only when the work is already there and the revenue is already there. So it's always sort of a playing catch up. So I don't know whether the question was because I read in the question that they were referring to large corporations, and you know I'm talking about mainly LSPs. And, there are many circumstances around that way of doing business. And, you know, the prices are going down. Clients want to pay less. The costs are getting higher when it comes to technology sometimes and investments. And they just need to make it work. But sometimes, you know, that doesn't help when a team is already overworked, trying to accommodate even more work. You run risk of getting your teams burned out. So that's, I would say the dilemma of some of the LSPs.
I think we answered this question and we click finished. Okay, we have questions coming. So I will going on with them. What is your experience with motivating the team to work collaboratively remotely, considering everyone's schedule and circumstances? For instance, we are seeing highly motivated and workday productive people becoming less motivated because another coworker is working different hours due to childcare. Then animosity kicks in, and while we try to foster understanding of circumstances, we still see motivation begin to deteriorate in these circumstances. It's quite a long question. So basically, what's your experience with motivating the team remotely? Let's keep it short.
I can start.
Please.
It's a different setup, of course, as we're discussing. And we've been in my team, we've been trying different options. We've been trying virtual gathering activities, and what we've noticed that sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, because it's difficult to keep up with this virtual activity as well. it's a different experience, but there are teams that are continue doing so because they feel very much the need of even virtually to get together. And I think it's important that we find the time to do so. I think the question was also mentioning something about lack of teams' productivity due to different working patterns. Yes, it's possible. This is something we have experienced as well, and the needs are different. And therefore, people are working in different times, but again, if there is an important project to deliver we require to work in specific hours or in specific pattern, well, we need to try to find a good compromise, either speaking to the managers and review the resources, review the project timelines. There's always a solution as long as we communicate with our managers the priority. I think we are all in the same situation, so that it's easier to be flexible, because there's no other way. So I would say it's important. Communication is key here, really, to determine the priorities and also be understanding with the colleagues that are more in need and are more affected by the situations in different ways.
Thank you, Monica. Luciana, Alessia, you want to add anything?
Yes, I can add. I think, you know, first of all, to motivate a team, right, you have to motivate people individually. So you have to feel motivated. So I think more than ever is all about respecting individuals, like those the different people and their different needs. So what I found myself through, you know, since COVID hit, like because I work different companies during this time, is having more one-on-ones than normal. Right, it's just having more those connection points and respecting what they want. Some people do want to talk more or longer, some people don't. Some people do want to have team meetings, some people don't. So it's just how we balance all of that, and it's flexible. So I tend to focus talking about KPIs, like I focus on outcome. Right, as long as they're delivering the outcome and they are happy and we are connected, I think that's what I have to respect, because, you know, right now, you know, we're all in globalization, localization. We always had a time difference in our land, right? Like when I look back, like how many times in meetings I had like 11 p.m., 1 and 2 a.m. in my life, I don't even know how I did that. I literally don't know how I did that. And I did for a long period of time. It was like recurring meetings, right? Because we're managing people in India and I'm here in California. So I went through that time, and I do not remember complaining, and I do not remember like having a problem during that time. But now we're just adding to that time difference. It is all those individual needs. Right, like we're all in different places in our lives, and like I said, there's like small kids, people live alone, people are sharing apartments, people are having like it was a really bad time for a lot of people, right, that lost their loved ones. So I think for us, just really respecting all of that and finding a way to motivate them individually first and then as a team. I personally have sent them, you know, things, thank you notes, have sent them, you know, during the holidays, have sent them, you know, like food and different things. So just to keep them engaged. But I think, you know, not everybody wants to have like a party, or like we did it like last year. We used to have like Friday toasts and everybody would show up. And the longer we did, the longer you saw less people showing up, because now they're doing different things. So it's just listening to those aspects and just responding to that properly. I'll be very honest, now I'm thinking again, like, can we put the team together? So we find people who live close by, we see each other wearing masks 6 feet apart, but at least we see each other. So we try, we don't go into the office. But those are the things that I see, like you can help motivate the team. Like I said, it's just start motivating them individually. And then making sure that they're sharing and that they feel safe in the environment and that they feel that they are secured and connect with each other.
And I think that Luciana made a really, really good point when she said that the individual needs and needs on a team level. So not everybody needs the same things. Like in the past, when I had teams that were remote to me, I think that the key was communication, checking in regularly to see how they were doing. But obviously, I was also able to go travel and meet them in person, which is something I cannot do at the moment. And my network at the moment is 26 localization specialists in 26 different countries. So the way that I'm trying to sort of keep everyone together as much as possible We have a formal meeting once a month where sort of everyone is required to attend because it's, you know, business related, and we make announcements or progress on some implementations. But then I introduced some weekly drop-in sessions. So they're not compulsory or anything, but, you know, the people can decide if they want to join, have a bit of a chit chat, have a coffee, obviously ask work-related questions. It's a way to sort of feel a bit more connected a bit more often. And I do them in two different time zones so that I can have APAC and I can have Canada and the US as well. So it's more, you know, whoever feels the need to be there can just connect and be there. And it's quite interesting, actually, because we are all based in different places. But for the first time ever, there is a topic that basically brings us all together. We check in on each other. How are things in your country? How are things in yours? Are you in lockdown? And then, obviously, we didn't have a Christmas party. So, you know, IKEA is quite relaxed and very informal compared to companies where I worked previously. So we had a Christmas gathering where if people wanted, they could wear something Christmas related. And I, you know, usually in big teams, you always have people that tend to speak more and that are less shy, and people that tend to keep to themselves a bit more. So I kind of introduced sort of a game, and they could choose whether to show a picture that would, you know, tell something about themselves. Could be a family, could be a landscape, could be their pet, and just, you know, decide to talk a little bit about themselves, something that we didn't know about them. Or there was another game that we did that was called Two Truths and One Lie. So they would need to say three sentences, and the rest of the team would need to vote and basically try to guess.
Uncover which one the lie.
Yeah. So, it might sound quite silly, but, you know, that hour and a half that we spent together really brought us together, and people learned something new about each other. So I think it's the little things that sometimes can make the difference, especially when we are all sort of within the four walls most of the time.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. There's an amazing question that I would like to ask you. Do you think that the high focus on productivity can stand in the way of creativity and innovation? Routines and high focus are key to productivity, whereas creativity flourishes in a structured time when you have time to just sit and think. But both are needed, of course, for company success. So how can you balance these? Luciana, you're nodding, so you might have something to say.
I think like we all have to take responsibility, right? I do believe we need to have a downtime to think. That's where the creativity, actually creativity can come anytime, anywhere. It has no place and has no time, right? I personally like exercising, which I haven't been done so much as I would love to. But that's when I was almost like, that's my time to think creatively, like just think of problems. What if I did this way? What if I did that way? It doesn't mean because I'm not exercising as much or as I would like to, that I'm not being creative anymore. I just had to find a different place to be creative, right? And but I think it's our responsibility to set time aside. So if you're the type of the person that you need to be quiet, to have like a downtime, or if you know your best time to think or find solutions is walking. So you have to stop, block your calendar. You know, it's really simple. It's tempting to don't do it. When you go and you block your calendar, you prioritize the meetings. If you're managing people, our people are thirsty to be empowered. So what can we give to them, empower them to take the leadership role and represent the team in a certain meeting? So we don't have, I keep saying like that movie, right? The yes man. We don't have to say yes for everything. So, and I think that's the right time. It's just to be very responsible, be mindful, and really look at your time wisely and plan. More than ever, like we're all talking about, I mean, I'm on meetings all day long, right? In some point, I have to look and say, do I really need to be in this meeting? If there's three people from my team, do I need to be on that meeting as well? So you start thinking about those things and you start prioritizing your time block your calendar and you go do what, you know, inspires you and what makes you happy, whatever that is, even if it is lay down the couch for a minute and read a book, you know, it's our responsibility because no one's going to do that for us. So that's what I believe it will help continue, like not letting the, you know, your creativity, you lose that creativity time and really take the time that you need to be creative.
And I really,
Monica?
Really...
Yeah, yes.
Go ahead, listen.
Please.
You can, it's very spontaneous.
I had the questions in front of me. I couldn't see Monica's face. But can go ahead. You can go ahead, Alessia.
I just wanted to say that I really agree with what Luciana just said. And I think it's very important to balance up, you know, the time that you spend with your colleagues and with other people within the company and the time that you spend, you know, with yourself. So recently we looked into the meeting structure actually, and we realized that we could cut down the time that we spend in the meetings and reduce the number of people that are in the meeting. So have some meetings bi-weekly instead of weekly, for example. That saves quite a few hours a week. And as Luciana said, I also sometimes block the calendar and I take maybe an hour or two and I call it focus time. So I just basically, you know, head down and think about what I need to do, strategy, objectives, achievements. It's very, very important as well to make sure that you take a break every day. Even if it's half an hour, you go for a walk, you get some fresh air, some oxygen. And sometimes when you're out and walk, it's when the best ideas come. So because you're just able, you know, you use part of your brains that otherwise, you know, wouldn't be stimulated. So yeah. So sorry for interrupting you, Monica.
No worries. No, I agree with what you both said. I also feel that being focused on doing something is not necessarily pushes creativity away, because some of the best ideas that on process improvements actually come from the people doing the work, doing the job. So while you're really doing your work, you can identify ideas to improve what you're doing and in the way you're doing. So I don't necessarily think that there is such a neat difference between, you know, doing the job and being creative. I think there might not be a difference. And of course, I agree, creativity is something like lateral that could happen at any time and in any circumstances, but also doing the job, doing the work, because the process improvement is part of increased productivity, and process improvement ideas most often come from the people who do the work.
Yeah, my best idea comes on the train when I'm traveling to the office. Luciana, you were going to say something.
No, I just love what Monica said because, you know, when we're doing the job, right, it's like I think having the right tools and resources, right? So if you're doing the job and it's very manual, it's busy work, it's not necessarily good work. It's not being productive, it's just being busy. So I'm always constantly challenge any team that I manage. Whatever you're doing, can you do that smarter? Meaning, can you remove some of those manual pieces of the work, some of those manual elements or the repetition? Like, can we create a dashboard, right? Is that another team who's already doing something similar? Can we leverage what they have done? Is that a best practice that we can follow? Is that a tool that we can leverage? So to Monica's point, you know, you're doing the work and you're, you know, if you're thinking flexibly and if you're thinking like with open mind, how can I do this better, right, smarter, that's when your productivity increases as well. So I completely agree with you, Monica.
Thank you, Luciana. Okay, I promise we will not be talking about tools or technology, but there are a couple of questions about that. One is there any tool to increase the productivity? And the other one, which might be related, is how to prioritize? Which tools do you use for that? Okay, Monica.
Well, it depends. I guess it depends on the area of expertise and of work that you are referring to. First thing that comes to mind is that in localization, one answer potentially could be machine translation, and how this increased productivity, if well utilized, if well applied to our processes, it could be a possible potential answer in the specific area.
Absolutely. Alicia, do you have anything to add on this? Do you use any tool, like any system getting things done or something like that, GDT or any system to get things done on your hand?
On the one hand, what I'm trying to do in Inca is to obviously try to use and implement technology, which is something that has not happened yet. We are in the implementing at the moment. Machine translation, translation management system, and all of that. But I was thinking more of a sort of team level or personal level. I would just say that we're all different. Like, for example, Luciana was saying that she loves multitasking. Monica said that she'd rather focus on one thing at a time. So I think that there is not an answer fits all. For example, I need to, when I focus, to be more productive or to feel that I'm being more productive. I like silence as much as possible. So any sort of music or noise can be a bit distracting. When it comes to a team level, something that I learned working in IKEA, and that is linked to what I was saying at the beginning of the webinar about the agile methodologies, is that we meet with the digital team once a month and we go through a sprint planning. And basically they map out all of the tasks that the team is supposed to be running over that month. They estimate the amount of time that every task and every story, so the story points, is going to take. And at the end of each sprint, they basically do the retrospective and they look at what has been achieved, what could be done better, what went very well. So that could also be, you know, I'm a fan of Agile, to be fair. So that is one of the things that I think could be more used in our industry that is fairly still new, especially at the buyer side and on the vendor side as well.
Thank you very much. So before going back to technology, which I think we will at some point, there are two questions that are related, in my opinion. One is from Valeria, and her question would be, what do you think will be the post-COVID future scenario for companies? Would it be like office, work from home, and hybrid? And do you think working hybrid could increase productivity?
We're already seeing that this is happening for some companies. So I guess it's going to continue. But it's also true that some company probably won't adopt the work from home pattern, and they will still allow some flexibility. So a hybrid culture. I think it will. A hybrid is the optimal scenario, because that will. You have the best of the two sides, and you don't lose completely the workplace reality and the contact with your colleagues. But at the same time, if you can keep some flexibility and you work from home at times, I think it's the perfect balance. So, I don't know what kind of solutions will be applied in the future. As a general rule, I don't even know if there will be space I'm thinking to regulate this scenario. It will require some time, I guess, especially in some countries, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Luciana, what do you think? Are you going back to the office, or are you going to have an hybrid model?
I don't have an answer for you on that yet, but all I know is when I look at different companies, right, in the technology, we are lucky enough that we can be in front of our computers anywhere. We already have seen companies that are open and saying, we're not going to go back to the office, right? We've seen companies just not renewing their buildings and their leasing contracts because they want to go completely 100%, you know, everybody working from home. And you see others that are going to adapt to the hybrid. I also think it depends on the role. So you might even have a company that, you know, people can do hybrid, but certain roles will be required to be in the office for different reasons. And I think the difference, I would like to think differently to this question, which is, it depends what you want to do, right? I think as employees, right, and you're looking for a job, you now have the power to make those decisions. Do I want to go back work in person? Do I want to go back to just work from home forever? Do I want to be able to say I want to work twice or three times a week from the office? And you have those conversations, which, you know, a couple years ago, depending on where you're applying, you could not even talk about that. Right. That's what their job is. You're either moving and you're in person or you're not even being considered for their role. So now those conversations are, you know, happening. And I don't even want to say more often. They're literally happening, which in certain roles, as we know, in different companies, it would not be a possibility before. So I would like to frame more answer that question on that angle. Right. Because you have the power to make those decisions and look for different roles in different places.
That's very true. That's very true. Because I remember in the past, you know, working from home and that level of flexibility. Again, I'm talking about LSP side. I had that those conversations in the past when I was recruiting for project managers for the weekend shift. Because obviously, you know, I couldn't expect people to work a weekend shift and work from the office. So they were, you know, flexible in terms of working hours, and the company was flexible in terms of location for the Saturday and Sunday. Then the rest of the week, they would be required to work from the office. But then, you know, some of them had kids, so they had a bit of more of a flexible pattern. But if you allow for that level of flexibility, then, you know, going back to the happy employee and the appreciation, they would easily work an extra couple of hours and not even feel it. I think that personally, nowadays, after, you know, COVID, even the companies that didn't want to think about remote work, they've been forced to. So the future of work is probably something that all of the companies are discussing. They might not get to the same outcome. But personally, I think that a mix would be ideal. So that, you know, if you need to make yourself available for important meetings, and make sure that you're visible and you are there, but you also have the flexibility to, you know, most of us have relocated abroad. So, you know, you might want to spend a long weekend with your family or be able to travel and spend the weekend somewhere and then work a day from a cafe or, I mean, that sort of thing. I think that flexibility, in my opinion, would help productivity because you would be working happier. So,
yeah, I agree. And I guess that you are looking forward to go to the office for the first time.
Okay.
Thank you very much. There's an interesting question about the difference between home office, so working from home, and telecommute, so working from anywhere. Do you have anything to say on this? What's the difference in terms of productivity, if you want?
Again, I think it's all down to perception. If you're focused and you want to work, it doesn't matter where you are. Maybe people think that if you're at home, then it's quieter, it's silent, and you can focus better. But if you are somewhere, I don't know, in a holiday house or, you know, looking at the beach, why would you be less productive? You might actually try to speed up so that then you can go for a walk or you can go for a swim. I just think it's all down, and once again, to trust and perception.
I guess
I love the idea.
If you're working as a freelance, you have you already built this work patterns of working from anywhere. If you have a role that for a company, I see it a bit more challenging because there are stricter pattern and there are meetings that you need to attend. And if you are at the beach, it's probably more difficult to accommodate. So maybe that's just a little difference that that comes to mind. But as Alessia was saying, it's really a matter of getting organized and make things happen.
Yeah, totally agree. And there's a comment on that, and then we'll let Luciana talk if she wants. So there's no working from home or working remotely anymore. It's simply working. But I love the idea of me working at the beach and looking forward to jump in the water.
Like you are right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I will go right after this event.
I did it last summer, guys. I took my laptop to the beach and, everybody goes on holiday in August in Italy. So July was relatively quiet. And sometimes I took meetings and video calls from there and it was fine.
Good. Well done.
Yeah. I think what Alicia said, it's spot on, right? It's like perception. I remember my first job when I worked in globalization, localization, that the perception of my friends and other peers who didn't know what globalization, localization meant, it was, you're always traveling, so you can work from anywhere. Like, and I had to travel often. And it was very interesting that depending on the country, they make comments, right? But anytime I mentioned that I went to Brazil, it was a perception that I was not working. So I passed the team and I start getting like a little, talking about background. So when we Zoom, I used to put just the company name on the background sometimes. People would not know where I am, right? And I would just say that I am at home and I just wanted to use that, but I was not. So it's all about perception, right?
And
so
trust.
Sometimes it's right. If you say where you are, people will assume certain things because of that place. So I think it's all about creating that trust, right? And the delivery. And it doesn't matter where you are, but there is difference. Like Monica said, if you're a freelancer, like the expectations, you are basically anywhere, right? But if you're remote work and you're working from home, the expectation you are at home. But home, as we know, can be anywhere, right? So if you're traveling and you can actually manage to attend the meetings and continue to do your job, there is no harm on that. And sometimes you don't need to communicate to everybody, but you need to communicate to your manager, which I have done in the past when I had people saying, I had people from my team in the past that were from Hawaii. And every time they said they're going to Hawaii, everybody was asking me questions. And I just told this person, you just don't say you're going to Hawaii. You just say working from home. And that stopped, right? So it's, again, that's what I like what Alicia says about perception. It's about also, building trust among peers and us as manager, leading by example and help make everybody feel included regardless of where they are. Even as Alicia was at the beach, and I'm sure she was very productive while she was there.
It was actually my line manager's idea because it was July.
Oh, there you go.
Everybody in Sweden and in the Netherlands was on holiday. And she was like, well, take it easy, just, and I thought, yeah, why not? I mean, let's go there and have a nice view while I'm working and speaking to people.
I'm sure you came back happier. You came back, like refreshed, recharged. And that's what we should care. Right.
And more creative, I believe.
Yeah, but I should also say that I didn't travel somewhere. It's like the beach is like literally 4 minutes walk from my place in Italy. So
it was
very tempting.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. There's another question here. Would you still have the same managerial approaches if you were to work in a much smaller company? That's interesting for me as well. How would you imagine productivity in a company with less than 50 employees? Mm. It's difficult for all of you because you work in huge companies.
I did work for very small companies at the beginning. The first two companies I worked for, we're talking about 15 years ago, I know, but I think that the principle is the same. It's just that in a smaller company, you have different challenges. So, for example, in a global company, you won't be struggling to, you know, convince the translators to take on more work because they haven't got paid for the last 2 months' invoices. But you get the chance to, in a smaller company, you get the chance to know people better and spend more time with them physically as well. Although during COVID times, you know, I know that's not the case. So for me, the same principles still stand. You know, give trust, give responsibility. Just tell people where you want to get as a company, what the objectives are, and just let them find a way to get there. So there was a quote from Steve Jobs. I'm hoping I'm not getting that wrong, but he was saying something
like... listening.
Sorry?
He's not listening, don't worry. No, please go ahead.
So he was saying something like, you don't hire skilled people to tell them what to do, but you hire them so that they tell you what needs to be done. So that's, you know, that's the key there, I think.
Absolutely. Maybe I come from a smaller company. Maybe the difficult thing is to find the time maybe to talk with people because you have to wear different hats during the day. That is my experience, at least. I wish I could talk more with my team. Luciana, what do you say? You have worked in huge companies, but...
You know, it's interesting because, you know, all my career I have worked in big companies, but at the same time, you work in small teams, right? So if you think as our teams, you know, you have small teams and you know, as a company, like you're delivering your, you know, if I think that way, you know, the way you can actually do focus on productivity is really making sure that people are prioritizing the work and then we are focused on the outcome. Like if you know what the outcome is and what the business challenge you're trying to solve, and we have everyone focused to achieve that, solve it for that, you know, looking for the customer point of view, and that's what you're trying to solve, you're being productive. So I think that's what I would say in by looking into, you know, how we manage small teams. And I did work in the beginning, like in small company before, but it was, you know, it was in person. We are always in person. And I will tell you, like I mentioned, being Brazilian, we're always chatting. We're always talking. So, you know, when you see it, you have to be extremely productive and focused, right? So that's my experience with managing like small teams that could be relevant for a small company.
Yep, absolutely. Monica? Do you wish to add something?
Yeah, I used to manage my small localization team in the startup in Rome, and everybody at the time was already working from home, so we were very ahead of the games. But I think trusting each other is very important. Having clear goals is very important because this is where, if you're working from home and you don't have a lot of contact with the team, it's easy to lose track. And it is important to have constant communication point meeting, and but also be clear on what the goals are, and also people need to take accountability of what they are, what they take on and what they will deliver. And you need to check that this is actually in place and trust the team that they will deliver what they need, I would say. But again, it requires some effort managing, building trust. There are people that trust by default and people that you need to gain their trust. So they need to have evidence that they can be trusted, and try to understand what your manager style is and act accordingly. That would be my piece of advice.
Thank you very much. I have a question myself. So with remote working and many companies going full remote or hybrid, I think you have more access to talents everywhere in the world. And talent management is strictly related to productivity as well. Company-wise, what do you think? Are you experiencing this? Are you seeing a shift in this in relation to the way talents are found and hired in your companies?
In relation to the work from home, you mean?
Yeah, the fact that you can we are now getting more used to hire people from remote as well.
This is a change that we are not seeing yet, but that I would like to see in the future. Because even if I'm allowed to work from home in Italy due to the pandemic, my role is based in Sweden, so that's where I'm supposed to be. And if I'm recruiting for a localization specialist in South Korea, that's where the person needs to be based, and ideally in the city where the office is. So I don't think we're quite there yet, but I don't know. I'm hoping that there would be some changes as the outcome of all of this.
I don't see any concrete changes, but for sure there's a push from people to go in this direction, and I'll be curious to see what happens in the future, because for sure this is something that sometimes it seems very easy to be able to relocate in just anywhere, but there are implications that need to be understood clearly, and it's not as automatic for a company to just place people anywhere. It's much more complex than it seems.
Yeah,
of course.
Sometimes you might have the right profile, the right talent, but the personal circumstances of that candidate wouldn't allow him or her to move to that specific place. So you miss out the opportunity, both as an individual and as a company.
Of course, linguists needs to be usually they are in the country where the language is spoken, of course. Maybe that can be true for project managers. I don't know, I was just wondering.
Not necessarily in our case, no.
Okay. I'm asking to rephrase a question because I'm not sure I understood it correctly. So we've mentioned project managers in the comment before and now as well. How did the role of project managers evolve with this situation currently in relation to the pandemic, but also to working from home and to productivity as well? Maybe, Alessa, you have experience with an SLV as well. Did you see any change, even if you're not working with that NSP anymore?
Yeah, so I'm thinking, for me, there has been a shift in the past 10, 15 years in the way that I recruited, for example, because 10, 15 years ago, I would be focusing on a profile of a project manager with experience or focusing on the soft skills, focusing on time management, whereas nowadays it's really important to have candidates that have that are tech savvy, so that know what machine translation is, that ideally have experience with that, that are able to work or have are familiar with one of the translation management systems that are present in the market, that sort of profile. So the component of technology is something that I think in the past 10 years has been really, really important. And I would say it's the same for the linguists, actually.
Yeah,
so
I don't know how much time I have. I don't want to.
Oh, we have 4 minutes left. So if any of you want to comment on my question, or we can go for a round of closing remarks if you want.
As
Monica.
You want.
Yeah. Let's start from you.
To on the project management or on the closing remarks? Sorry.
If you want the project management, we have 3 more minutes for the closing remarks.
I don't really have much to add to what Alessia was saying about the project management and the linguist evolution of the roles. I think the technology is what plays the major role there, and even if we are a client-based team and we have our internal tools and processes, but we always look out for the industry and what happens to make sure that we are keeping the team up to date constantly. And that's my comment.
Thank you. So I would go for a round of closing remarks if you want. Luciana, do you have anything to suggest or to comment on in relation to productivity to close this conversation?
Yes, for me, I think that, like we started in the beginning, productivity can mean different things to different people. At the end of the day, it's all about individualization, right? It's how you get different people on the individual level happy and productive and feel, and this person feels included. And because then when we put everybody together and put the teams together and organization together, they all understand each other and they all be treated equally, right? And I think that's the key piece. And we will always, as humans, be trying to do things better and faster, and sometimes doing more things, even if it is on personal lives, right? Like we wanted to travel more, you want to enjoy more. We all have our personal aspirations, and we're always striving to do something better. So I think that translates on how we work. And I truly believe it is our own responsibility to take control of our own lives and really talk, you know, especially at work, talk to the manager and ask for help to prioritize, to help focus, to understand the goals, and really making sure that you block your calendar, you know, take the time for yourself, take the time to enjoy your family, and take the time to go for a walk and make whatever you have to do to make you happy. That's my advice from talking around productivity.
Thank you very much. Monica.
Just, I would say, know yourself, understand how you can take the most out of the time that you have available, and respect your biological rhythms and understand where you are more productive than in the day.
Thank you very much. Alyssa, you started, so it's your right to close it.
Thank you. So we've been focusing on, you know, productivity, and I think one of the key words that that we discussed was change, the new normal, the new reality. But our industry is changing regardless of COVID. It's continuously evolving. So I just wanted to close with a word of wisdom, if I'm allowed to say, to not only the project managers, but also the linguists that might be listening to us, because their role has also changed and evolved during the years. So my closing statement is, don't be scared of change. See change as an opportunity. I think that the recipe for success in our industry is to have a flexible mindset, try and understand as much as possible the bigger picture, try and to understand the markets that you're part of, be curious, try to learn fast and be adaptable, because one of the biggest fears in relation to productivity is that if we become more productive, there is less space for human work in our industry, but that will never be the case as long as you adapt and evolve together with the industry. There will always be opportunities.
That's amazing. Thank you very much. So we are 1 minute after the closing time. I would really like to thank you for being here today. Recording will be ready very soon. Thank you very much for your insights. Thank you, Luciana. Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Alessia. Alessia, for me and you and Monica, it's time to go and have dinner, I guess. some personal time for us. Luciana, have a nice day, because it's morning where you are. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you to the audience for your person and attending.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thank you for having us. It's been an absolute pleasure.